Praise the Lord. Well, I want, will you help me? We got 30 minutes. Okay, we got 30 minutes. Do we do exercise after this?
Yes.
And then we take a break?
Yes, sir.
Y'all want to stand?
Yes.
Why don't you stand? Let me ask a question. Did you pretty much understand the purpose of the exercise?
Yes.
You do understand how you can apply it to your personal life?
Yes.
Did you understand why it's important to have a collaborative environment?
Yes.
Now, you can be seated. Because we're covering three areas, we won't be able to cover, in huge detail, but the mandate that I'm giving all the directors and executives and all that is we're supposed to be doing this in our departments and our ministries in our areas. If after this quarter, in your area, there's nobody's doing anything, squat nothing, then that person is not really doing what I'm telling them to do. And I'm putting pressure on them now. Because the purpose of this is not for us to just give you a binder. The purpose of this is to push this all the way down, create a collaborative environment, because I heard some outstanding things. But to get those things and to make the department or the ministry, see, if we do every area like this, get people involved in every area, look at strengths and weaknesses, all that, then across the board, we got to become a better church. We got to become a better church. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, you ready? I want you to turn back to your black and white circles.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Strategic planning, and I was trying to come up with a very simple process. Strategic planning process has three components. Objectives, that's what we did when it relates to the objectives. But once we come up with objectives that we consider to be strategic, then we have to have a strategy. Turn to page 10. We can have beautiful objectives. I mean, they could be just outstanding objectives. I mean, just glorious objectives. But if we don't have a strategy to facilitate and carry out the objectives, then we're still not going to reach our goals. So this section right here is on strategies. Very simple. I think it's very simple. I'll go through it, give you a little overview of it. I'm going to give you an oral exercise, and then we're going to look up on the monitor. We'll give you an example of how we did it in 20 minutes here at the church, just 20 minutes. So this is not deep stuff, not rocket science stuff. And then we're going to let you do it as an exercise, and I think it's going to be a blessing for you. Say strategy.
Strategy.
Come on, say strategy.
Strategy.
Say, I need a strategy.
I need a strategy.
The thing on objective, just looking at that SWOT analysis, it forces us to think through, doesn't it?
Yes.
And remember, great leaders are what? They're thinkers. So having a process of coming up with an objective forces me to evaluate, to think through. Strategist the same way. The exercise is designed to be thinking through, not just impulsively, not just doing something, but to think through. Come on, say think through.
Think through.
So a strategist, a plan. And I was searching and trying to find out something. And if you got some, it works for you, great. Keep doing it. But I wanted something that we all could do and have a framework that we all same terminology, same approach, so that we could have that continuity that we've lacked in the past. So every strategy has three components. It has a diagnosis, a guiding policy, and coherent actions. Repeat after me, diagnosis,
diagnosis.
Guiding policy,
guiding policy.
Coherent actions.
Coherent.
Say it one more time. What I'm anticipating that as I give you an overview of it, and then directors and executives and all those things push it down, then this terminology is just going to be common to all of us. Across the board, everybody's going to know what a diagnosis is. Everybody is going to know what a guiding policy is. Everybody's going to know what coherent actions are. Everybody know it. Across the board, we're talking the same thing. We're speaking the same language. We have strategy sessions, and we can work together through it. So a diagnosis, once I have my objective, we know what we want to achieve. We got that. We've done all the work to decide what we want to achieve. Now we got to have a strategy, a plan to achieve it. And the first component of our strategy would be a diagnosis. The diagnosis includes several things. I got them listed here. Obstacles, challenges. We got an objective. We got a goal, but what's standing in our way? What are the challenges? What are the obstacles to us accomplishing the thing that we want, whether it's growth, whether it's spirituality, whether it's a growth track, whether it's empowering the community to renovate Wildland, what's standing in our way? Obstacles, challenges. In our diagnosis, we need to also think about opportunities. We talked about opportunities in our SWOT analysis, but what opportunities are there? What advantages do we have? What advantages do we have? Are there any critical issues? Maybe a critical issue is past attempts. We tried this before. Why did it succeed over here? Why did it fail? Why did I succeed? Why did I? What are the critical issues in my diagnosis? Once I have a diagnosis, then I got to come up with a guiding policy. Say guiding policy. The guiding policy, now I'm going to give you a quiz. You know I want to be a teacher, so I'm going to give you a quiz. The guiding policy is the general approach to handling the diagnosis. But this general approach lacks definition. It's not specific. I know what my obstacles, my challenges, possibly my opportunities, my advantages, the critical issues. So now what will be my approach? What method will I use to overcome the challenges, the obstacles, and all those things that I've already thought through? We'll give you an illustration in a minute. Once I have my guiding policy, that's going to really determine my coherent actions. What does coherent mean? Huh? Concrete? Coherent? Connecting? Correlating? Coordinating? Alignment? So these actions now are consistent with the guiding policy that I've set in place. So my guiding policy is really going to give direction to my actions. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? You got that? Okay. I'm going to give you an oral exercise, and somebody, I did this in one of our sessions. I think it might have been Sharonita, and Sharonita said, I didn't know anything about the war in Iraq. You remember that? So I used the illustration on the war in Iraq, and I say it's a good illustration because leaders always come up to situations that they don't know about. Just because you don't know anything about it doesn't mean you can't think. See, the issue is, I may not understand it. I may not have a clue about it, but leaders still think. And we think through, and we think systematically, and we think logically, and in the same way that successful people live life on purpose, leaders lead on purpose. So whether I have information or knowledge about it or not, that does not give me an excuse for not thinking. Come on, put your hand up to that. Leaders think. Okay. So watch this. Here's my illustration. I'm not going to write anything down. You just got to think. Okay? The war in Iraq. I don't have AC here because, and I'm glad he's not here because if he was here, he'd tell me whether it was right or wrong. Don't tell AC I said that. Because, see, he a general, and he said, Pastor, that one. No, he's really my support. He said, you can bounce it off me anytime you want to. Okay, the war in Iraq. Say Iraq.
Iraq.
Anybody know why we were there?
Yes. We were told that Iraq had weapons of
mass destruction.
Anybody else know why we were there?
Oil.
Oh, look at all these. That's what I'm talking about. Why were we there?
Take out Saddam Hussein.
Why were we there?
Executive order
from the President of the United States. Why were we in Iraq? 9/11. Well, we don't know why we were there, do we? Truth of the matter is, we don't know why we were there. Okay, I am going to give us an objective. The reason why we were in Iraq was to assist the Iraqi nation in establishing a democracy, a self-governing country. That's why we were there. To establish a self-governing, democratic society.
Okay.
This is my example. So our purpose, our goal, because we got to have an objective, right? So our goal is to assist this country in establishing a democratic, self-governing country, democracy. That's our goal, right? So once we have that, we got the objective, we got to have a strategy. Come on, come on now. Okay, don't act like the slow class. So we got the objective, right? So now we need and a strategy has three components. Don't look down. It has what?
A diagnosis.
A guiding policy. And coherent actions. Okay, so let's diagnose. And remember, the diagnosis is the obstacles, challenges, opportunities, advantages, and critical issues in overcoming this situation over here, or achieving this situation. So let's talk obstacles and challenges first. What were the obstacles? Religion.
Resistance.
Language barrier.
Resistance.
They had never had a democracy.
See how we thinking? See, leaders think. We thinking. What logistics? What's that?
Yeah.
Okay, okay. What else? Location, distance. We got to get our troops off. Yes. Stereotypes. Perception of the West. Stereotype. Anything else? Saddam. Resources. Finances. Who's going to help us? International support. So now watch this. See how you thought through that? And you were not on the military council or anything. And you did what? Okay. The form of government, a dictatorship was an obstacle. Were there any opportunities for us? Now you're talking about that's opportunity. Yes, opportunities. Yes. Now we're talking about opportunity. Oh, the fact that others there don't like him. Okay. Any opportunities? Huh? Allies. Our military, the power and the superiority of our military was an advantage. Any critical issues? Okay, so now we got the diagnosis, right? We know what the challenges, we know what the obstacles, we know what the opportunities, critical issues, what comes next? We need a what? We got to have our what? Guiding policy. Now, look up. And if you were here with the rest of it, and I've been through it with you, don't show how smart you are. I want to hear what everybody else, I'm trying to get them to.
Thank you.
Okay. Guiding the policy is what? The general approach or the method that we're going to use to overcome all those obstacles, right? And it doesn't have specificity to it. It doesn't have definition to it. It's just a general approach. What was our general approach?
Establish a headquarters over there.
That's a part of it, but that really falls down to coherent actions.
Money send troops in. Send troops in and create war.
War. Our general approach was
war.
We're gonna fight. Can anybody tell me why we chose that approach? Okay, other than war, what approach could we have used? We could have used diplomacy. What's that guy named Blair?
Tony Blair.
Is United Kingdom?
Yeah.
If we had been dealing with Tony Blair, what approach would we have used? Diplomacy. So why did we approach it from a war standpoint? We got a dictator. We got Saddam, and we're afraid of them chemicals. Right? So the guiding policy, watch this, there's no set policy. You got to decide what general approach you're going to use to overcome the challenges. Does that make sense? We chose war. If we had chose diplomacy, we'd approached it differently. So once we got a guiding policy, what comes next? Coherent actions. So let's think of some coherent actions that we took that were consistent with, coordinated, in alignment with our guiding policy. Engage the international community to unite with and organize our allies. That was a coherent action. Any other coherent action? Huh? Well, let's make it general. We had to maneuver our military, our troops, right? Any other coherent actions? Increase our spending budget in war. The budget ceiling. Any other coherent actions? Gather intelligence. Economic sanctions. And then we probably throw in a little negotiation. We bomb you, then we talk to you. Okay. Yes. Yes. Military areas. Be strategic in the way we did that. Let me ask a question. How many knew something? I mean, you really knew something about that scenario. Lift your hands up. I mean, you just had all kinds of information. Let me see your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay. Out of the rest of us, past included, we ain't know nothing about that. Like some of you ain't have a clue, right? The point that I want you to see, that doesn't stop us from thinking. See, leaders always come up against situations and circumstances where you lack information, you lack knowledge, you may not understand all the intricate things, but that does not stop you from thinking. And my goal is to develop you to be thinkers. And where we're thinking systematically and we have a process in our thinking. And here again, we're going to give you an exercise, but you can do that about your marriage.
That's true, right?
We need to have a strategy to grow our marriages.
That's true.
We need to have a strategy. The difference between people who fail and people who succeed is people who succeed think better.
Right.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's good word. That's good word,
Pastor. You're going to find your level of success grow to the degree that you learn to think.
Amen.
Especially in Christendom. In Christendom, we just pray. We pray and say, Lord, now work it out. And then we get really spiritual. We ask, we fast and pray.
Yes, sir.
And we say, now, Lord, I'm struggling with this marriage. Now just work it out. And then you stand back and sing, he'll work it out. He'll work it out. But we don't think, we don't have a strategy, we don't have a plan. And watch this. The Bible says a man plans his way and the Lord directs his step. So the reason why sometimes we don't get direction and God's participation is because God is waiting on us to plan. So I wanted to come up with a systematic way where we start thinking through as a group. And I think we're going to do so much better because you have so much to offer.
Amen.
And any leader that don't talk to you is a dumb leader.
Amen.
That's just the bottom line. Any leader that don't talk to the people, even when I set goals, I spent 3 hours yesterday with Minister Byron, 3 hours. We didn't finish. And I didn't take a whole lot to the meeting. I didn't take a big sheet of stuff to the meeting. I wanted him to come in. I wanted to see how he thinks. Now, I add stuff to it, but I want to see how he thinks.
Amen.
It's his job.
Yep.
And usually, there are people who know more than we know.
Yeah.
So leaders don't just decide to do something. Leaders want to know what the people, if you got somebody over something, you need to know what they think about it. And it's dumb to not talk to people. And that's the culture, and I'm putting pressure on everybody. That's the culture we want to have. That we get information, we get insight. Sure, we're going to have directives. Sure, it's lead. That doesn't mean they're going to take everything you say. But I'm just saying you should have some ownership. You should have some investment. You got great ideas. We need to know what you think. And then we need to work from what you think. I think it'll motivate you to operate at a high level. That was a simple exercise. I want us to turn, and let me show you this. I got about 6 minutes, and then we'll do exercise. Can you turn to this and show our living word? When I introduced this planning thing to the executives, we were just sitting in one of the conference rooms, and I was just writing up on the thing. And Byron said, well, use living word. And we, in about 20 minutes, it should be in your manual too. We got a strategy for living word in your manual. And in about 20 minutes, he told us, I like to see numerical growth in our church. Numerical growth. That's what he said. We're just talking off the cuff. This is not deep stuff. We're just talking off the cuff. So we knew what his strategic objective was, increased membership of Living Word. So we need a what? Strategy. Strategy is a plan. This plan has three components. It has what? Diagnosis, guide and policy. That's what we did. 20 minutes time, we let him talk because he had to think through, okay, what are the obstacles? What are the challenges? What are the problems? What are the advantages? Let's diagnose this thing. And he said population was a challenge. It's not a large city. He said name recognition because the church is an independent church. It's rather new. He says non-denominational, so he's experiencing all the things that all of us non-denominational people experience because they think we cults, right, if we don't have Baptist or Presbyterian. He said racism is a problem in his area, and in some areas down there, they still have segregated schools. So that's a serious impediment. He says distance. Him and Miriam are driving over 100 miles one way every week. It's a pioneer experience. Teaching, he saw as an advantage because there's not a lot of teaching in the area. Unchurched, there's opportunities there to reach the unchurched. And he said one of the big opportunities in Livingston is the college town. Now, watch this. We've diagnosed, we got a goal, objective, but we got a strategy. Now, we got to sit down and think through what are the obstacles, what are the challenges, what are the opportunities, what are the advantages, what are the critical issues, because leaders think, and leaders think strategically. So I have to think through. I don't just pray, I think through. So in a matter of 20 minutes, he thought about the situation. So he had a diagnosis. So secondly, we got to come up with what? We got to come up with a guiding policy. And here's the guiding policy he came up with. 50% of our efforts and activity will go toward leveraging the college campus. That was the guiding policy. So now we got guardrails. We know what direction we're going to be headed in because that guiding policy is going to direct our actions, our resources, our ideas, going to be headed in that direction, right? Now, we won't waste money doing other stuff because we have so 50%. Now, he saw leveraging this college town as the advantage to overcome the obstacles to grow. I thought that was smart. Okay, so now he had to have coherent actions, actions that are consistent with that guiding policy, facilitate that guiding policy. So he says, we're going to establish programs on campus. Our church is going to establish programs on campus. We're going to utilize current members that are connected to the university. They have some members already in their church connected to the university. We're going to connect with them. Then thirdly, he said, we're going to develop a team that focuses only on the campus. And then next, he said, we're going to create events that target certain age groups. Then he said, we're going to work on transportation. We need to have some kind of transportation to make sure we can transport people from the campus to the church. We're going to establish programs in the church and make it easy for them to get involved. So for the campus people, we're not going to have no long new members class. See, that's thinking what? Strategic. So we're not going to have no law because they're transient, right? They're students, right? So he's going to have something just for the students where they can become members. And then he says fast track assimilation. And then just recently, it's amazing. If you plan, the Spirit of God will. You plan, the Spirit of God will. Some sorority sisters, I think, that were visiting the church want him to start a monthly thing on campus. Did he start this week or next week? Anyway, but he's going to be going on campus. See how God works? Yes. If we plan, then God will move. Amen. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Is that hard?
No.
It's not hard, is it?
No.
Okay, I'm through.
We're
going to do an exercise, and then we're going to take a break. And then I'm going to talk execution. Come on, give me some love now. Ernest, you ain't clapping. Okay.
Well, we're going to do another strategy activity, and we're going to do that together. Pastor talked about that we should not only have a strategy for the organization, but we should have strategy in our individual lives and our personal lives and for your job. So we're going to do an exercise around strategy, and we're going to come up with a strategic objective that I think is relevant for all of us. For the sake of time, how many of you sometimes feel like you don't have balance in your life? That you either spend too much time working and you don't have enough time for your children or your spouse, or on the other hand, you spend too much time having a good time and you're not productive and effective. So how many of us spend too much time having just a good time? Okay, back there in the back. Thank you for your honesty. Well, we're going to do a strategy around work-life balance. Now, can anybody tell me what a strategic objective is supposed to do? Okay, we're going to achieve, well, a strategic objective is something that you want to achieve. And so our strategy is a work-life balance. And so we're going to come up with a diagnosis. We're going to take about, well, tell me this. What does a diagnosis consist of? Obstacles, challenges, advantages, and critical issues. So I just want to take about 3 to 4 obstacles and challenges. 3 to 4 obstacles and challenges that will help us not to have a work-life balance. Anybody want to? I'm sorry. Back there, Sanjanetta? Taking work home. That's a good one. Time management. What's another obstacle or a challenge? Accepting additional responsibilities. One or two more, Frank?
Misplaced values,
that's a good one. And I heard somebody over here say money. Money could be an obstacle, okay? Let's go on and talk about some advantages. What are some advantages to a work-life balance? Better health. I'm sorry, Miss Ann. Prioritizing.
You have a better home life.
You have a better home life. Vince, efficiency, and then Valencia. You have a sound mind, okay? That's very good. What are some critical issues that will keep us from having a work-life balance? Critical issues, Maria? Inefficient staffing. Anybody else? What are some critical issues? I thought, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Micromanaging, that's very good. Any others? Not knowing how to say no is a critical issue. Anybody else? Distractions, okay? So we have a pretty good diagnosis. We said money is the obstacle. Better health is... Oh, what are we on? I'm sorry. Okay. Some of the things that we said were obstacles and challenges were money, time management, taking work home. Thank you. Misplaced values. And what were the others? Inefficient staff, not saying no, and micromanaging. And some of the opportunities were better health. Did anybody else have anything else for opportunity? Relationship building, a better home life. Okay. Now we're going to move to guiding policies. And remember, a guiding policy lacks definition. It's just a general approach that we're going to take to having a work-life balance. Now, let me ask you something. Do you think that you, how many of us are guilty of some of these things? Okay. How many of us are going to take some of these things and try to change our life? Excellent. How many of you think your spouses will be happy? How about your children? Good. All right. So a guiding policy. Let's come up with a guiding policy. Anybody have any ideas on a guiding policy? A guiding policy now is the general approach. And I heard somebody say saying no. Saying no to overtime. Okay. Maria? Keep my personal life personal and my business life business. Okay? That's a great general approach. Delegation. Yeah. Delegation is a coherent action. Okay? Setting goals. That could be a coherent action. Yes, Karen. Being disciplined with boundaries. Good. That's a great general approach. Anybody else? Y'all think that's good? Yes, ma'am. Knowing that every good thing may not be the right thing to do. Okay, back here. Adhering to time constraints. Very good. Yes.
Let me help you out. Let me help y'all out. Okay. It's a general approach. A lot of that is coherent actions. That's not a general approach. The closest thing to a general approach is separate
business.
That could be a general approach. Mm-hmm. I'm going to separate business, or I'm going to prioritize my whole life. Right. See, that's a general approach. I'm going to give priority to my whole life. Mm-hmm. See how that's a general approach? The specifics of what I'm going to do are coherent actions, mm-hmm. and they should line up with prioritizing my whole. Can we use that one? Okay.
I have one.
You have one?
Yes.
Yes.
What about developing a plan for a holistic approach to life?
Yes.
Developing a plan for a holistic approach to life, and that includes everything.
It's the approach.
It's the approach.
Like
yes.
War versus diplomacy.
Gotcha. Yeah.
It's general. It's not specific.
It doesn't have any definition to it at all. Lacks definition. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, let's go on to... Okay, Chris.
The
I'm sorry, I didn't understand your question.
He telling you something.
You better watch out. You better watch out. I got my husband over here. No, I'm teasing. Go ahead. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Oh, that's his guiding policy. Okay, only dealing with certain people. I think that might be a coherent action. But we got our guiding policy is that we're going to develop a plan for a holistic approach to life.
Okay.
Thank you, Chris. We're going to move on to coherent actions. Now, the coherent actions have to be consistent with our guiding policy. What are the things that we have to do now in order to make this guiding policy come to pass? What are some of the actions that we have to take to develop a plan to have a holistic approach to life? Anybody? Yes, Maria? That's a good one. Do not take a work bag home.
That's
all
good.
All right. That's an excellent one. Vince?
Have someone hold you accountable.
Have someone hold you accountable.
Time management.
Somebody said saying no.
Saying no, okay. Okay, Angela? Utilize your team by delegating. Very good. Frank? Evaluate opportunities for promotion. And one last one. Set priorities. Did that help you in your personal life? How many of you can actually take something that we've done here and apply it now? Okay. Are you going to do it? Pastor made the statement earlier, we can do these things, but then we have to make sure that we walk them out. All right. Well,
Can I say something?
Yes, sir.
The challenge with this process will be this, the guiding policy.
Yeah.
It's much easier doing this. And what I want to reiterate is a lot of what you said was great, but it's a coherent action. When she said a holistic approach, now there's actions I have to put to that. You see what I'm saying? And so remember that the guiding policy is general in nature. It doesn't have specificity to it. It's not giving definition. It's the difference between war and diplomacy. If I declare war, certain actions going to correlate to war. If I'm going to negotiate and have diplomacy, certain actions go that way. Your guiding policies give directions to your actions. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
The more you do it in your meetings and the more you do it in your life, the more it'll become a part of you.
We don't have time for one more, or...
We don't have time. I'm giving you an overview,
okay.
And because I want to talk to you a little about execution.